speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I am excited over the series of lessons that we're going to look at throughout the course of this year on the subject matter, Back to the Basics. Last month, we looked at, and we're going to do one a month. Last month, we looked at the Bible being the Word of God, and that it is inspired by God. And because of this, we know that not only has God given it to us, it is the truth upon which our lives and our worship must center in and around. And therefore, if we do these things, we will be able to enjoy a relationship with God in the here and now, but also be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God someday. Today, as we look back to the basics, I want us to consider, as well as to bring out the fact that our God is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. But you and I know that this is not a popular thought in the world of which we live in today. In fact, one scientist has said, in regard to our world of which we live in, is that it all started with a tremendous bang. Somewhere in our galaxy, a star exploded, throwing out masses of gas and dust. This supernova, as these explosions are called, happened about 5 billion years ago. The wreckage from the explosion then crashed into a nearby cloud of gas, bringing together the ingredients for our solar system to be formed. Because the explosion was so energetic, it caused the dust mixture to become very hot, and things began to cook. As a result of that, these hot mixtures and things cooking, little bits of dust began to cluster, making bigger and bigger lumps, and the mixture began to pull together under its own gravity. You see, according to the scientific schools of thought, according to scientific schools of evolution, they believe that the universe began in a very spontaneous way with an explosion. And it's interesting, though, as you look in regard to these matters, is that they say that it began somewhere in our galaxy, that a star exploded. And yet, at the same time, this atheist that I quoted from as we begin our lesson this morning, nor any others are able to identify where that star came from, or where that this explosion initiated from, or where these gases came from. In all, friends, or also then where this disorder evolved into some sort of an orderly fashion, yet they say that all of these things happened over millions and billions of years. Isn't it interesting, too, that they contend is that modern humanity evolved from ape-like figures? And if you do your research, you will find is that they even give a name to one of the apes, supposedly, that we have evolved from, and that is Lucy, who is in a similar form or fashion to how that man has evolved from all ape-like ancestors or figures. And as a result of that, if you look to their timeline, their chart that they present, is that man evolved from an ape into some sort of a Neanderthal or caveman type figure to where today we are our modern state of humanity. The idea in regard to God. The belief about a creator, about an eternal being, is unimaginable to these people. And friends, the reason that they hold to these theories, the reasons that God is unimaginable to them, is not because there is no God, not because there is a lack of evidence, but rather because they dismiss in their own minds the probability and, in fact, the actuality that there is indeed a God in heaven. Not only is it important to look at these theoretical concepts, for friends, it is imperative for us to turn to the Bible, the Word of God, the truth that we talked about last month, and to see what affirmations we find from a biblical context, from a biblical perspective, from the Word of God, from the true message that God gives us, the Bible identifies is that there is a God in heaven, not only who has existed and who does exist, but His existence is eternal, forever and ever, without any end. You see, when we think with regard to God, God does not have a beginning, but rather God has always existed. And in the school of evolution, amongst those scientists who dismiss the existence of God, if indeed they will be true to themselves and honest with each and every one of us, they will also have to conclude, and they will behind closed doors, is that someone or something has always had to exist. Why? Because of the laws of school, because of the laws of cause and effect. Whenever you have an effect, whenever you have something that is in existence, of necessity there is also then something that has caused that. And friends, we must draw a line, we must draw a conclusion, is that something from an evolutionary standpoint has always had to exist and therefore has brought about the Big Bang and this process of evolution, or God, according to what the Bible teaches us, has always existed, and therefore God is the cause for the effect of which we find in the world today. You know, according to what the Bible teaches us, not only is there a God in heaven, but God is responsible for the creation of the heavens and the earth. It did not begin with the Big Bang, but rather because God, who is eternal, and God who is superior, and because of God's desire to bring forth humanity, to create mankind, God is responsible for the creation of the heavens and the earth. But also, it is important for us to point out is that God not only identifies Himself as the Creator and the Sustainer of all things, God also identifies to us is that the scientists who say that the world has come about to its modern state over billions of years, is that that is wrong. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, conjoined with what we find in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, not only did God create everything, but friends, God created everything in a literal 6 days, 24-hour days, the same as what we count time today. That's what we read of in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2 and verse 7, in joining with that the seventh day of which God rested. As we think with regard to the creation, as we read from the biblical context, not only did God create the heavens and the earth, but God makes it very clear that humanity, humankind, mankind, was created by our God. You see, we have not evolved as scientists would want us to believe, to buy into their schools of thought. But friends, we were created by our God who loves us. And we were created with thought in mind. We were created as we are, with design and with purpose. And we were created not only by our God, and it's important for us to point it out, is that He created us different than any creature that He created, in the fact that God has created mankind according to His image. He has placed within humanity a soul that lives while we are here, and a soul that not only makes up a part of who we are during the course of our existence here in this world, but that soul is eternal in the sense that whenever it is given from God, is that it will live on throughout eternity. And therefore, God pleads with us to understand the placement of the soul, as well as the importance of the soul, and to realize is that we must give our lives and to live our souls, if you would, for God in the here and now, during the course of our life, so that someday we will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. You see, God has masterfully made us, designed us, according to His will. Not only wanting us to live here in this world and to experience life, to be able to have family and friends and the church to be able to be surrounded by, but God has created us with design, wanting us to be able to live for Him here so that someday we will be able to live with Him eternally in heaven. You see, God also not only explains, defines, and gives it in great detail in regard to how everything came into existence, but friends, also, God identifies for us that earth life continues to exist until God will call it into judgment. Until God will call us into judgment. Until God calls this earth to be no more. And in fact, the Bible identifies to us is that whenever God sends Jesus Christ back in the air, and that we will meet Him in the clouds in that great and glorious resurrection, is that this earth will be no more. Because this earth was created for our inhabitants. It was created with mankind in mind. And therefore, whenever Jesus Christ returns, God says that He's responsible for the fact that it has continued into this very hour. And at that time, when Christ returns, then the earth will melt with fervent heat and it will be no more. You know, from a scientific standpoint, I want to challenge you to go and to read what the scientists say, but also then to turn and to read what the Bible has to say in regard to all matters. You see, the Bible agrees with the first and second laws of thermal dynamics. And in regard to those matters, scientists even agree is that the earth appears as if at some point it had been wound up like a clock. We don't wind clocks anymore, I guess, for the most part. We have batteries that operate them. But in the olden days, we had clocks that we would wind up. And that the earth was as a clock that had been wound up and that now it is winding down. You see, scientists assert those things and it is true. The earth was wound up and God's the one who wound it up in creation. And God identifies from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 11 and verse 12 that it is indeed winding down. But yet at the same time is that it is held into place according to His divine will and according to His hand. Someone would say, but Kevin, you can say anything that you want to say, but do you have evidence that would prove the existence of God? Do you have evidence to back up exactly what it is that you're saying? In regard to these matters, you guys are going to have to click me through, I'm afraid. I've got it going now. Yes, there is evidence that will help us to understand that God is the Creator. In fact, God identifies this even from the context of the Scripture in Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. You see, whenever we look out into the world, into the earth, and according to what we find with mankind, and according to what we even find in our solar system, these things point to the idea and the fact that there is a God in heaven. And with what we find about God in heaven and the way in which He's given us evidence, there is design and there is a systematic order that is seen in our universe. Friends, taken in regard to the earth itself, the earth sits on a tilt, on an axis. And in fact, the Bible even speaks with reference to this fact. And this is not only something that is presented in Scripture, this is something that we have been allowed to explore and to understand, even in the realm of science. And in regard to this, is that it is on its perfect tilt. And as the earth rotates, it is at the perfect speed, slowing up and speeding up at the factors of which is essential in order for the laws of gravity to be held into place. The earth is distance from the sun at the perfect distance. If we were any closer, we would burn up. If we were any further away, we would have constant ice age. You see, God has set the universe in such a way as to identify is that there is design within the universe. And those who are rational, those who are realistic, will take the understanding that where there is design, then thereof also necessity must be a designer. Take into consideration if you were to walk out into our parking lot and define the different cars that are out here that we've all ridden in to get here to our church building. And if we were to walk out and to say, how did those cars get here? And I'm not talking about the fact that we've driven them here. Where did they come from? How did they come into existence? And somebody might say, well, Kevin, they just exploded into existence. And the rest of us who are rational, who think things through, we would say, you're crazy. And then cars just don't explode into existence. And that person might go on to say, how do you know? And we would say, do you find any design in those automobiles? And is a person's going to be real with themselves and honest with us? Friends are going to have to conclude and to say, well, yeah, there's design there. And if there is design, then there is also a designer. Am I right on that? If there is design, then there is also a designer. Yet at the same time, we use those analogies. We draw those illustrations. And scientists will even say, yes, there's design in automobiles. Yes, there's design with the clothing we wear and with everything that we create in this world. And even they will go on to say is that there's design, there's evidence of design in the universe. But listen to this. To conclude that there is a designer, a God in heaven, according to scientists, we're foolish. Friends, is it no surprise to us that God says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God? You see, not only does God give us design as we look at and consider our universe, but also God shows us and says, look to yourself. Consider the complexity and rhythmic function of humanity. Friends, within us, there is a DNA system that identifies each one of us individually. From a scientific standpoint and medically, a medical point of view, they're able to look at that DNA and to say that this is Kevin Key, or that this is Ronnie Argo, or that this is Mike Boss, and that DNA, that genetic makeup solely belongs to those individuals. And we're able to prove today, or even to disprove, crimes, whether or not they've been committed by certain individuals based out of the DNA makeup that is within each and every one of us. And it all began with a big bang. And it all just from chaos has developed into order. And humanity has evolved from Lucy, a Lucy-like ape figure, to the point to where we are unto this very day. Friends, God has created us with an intellect to be able to think things through, to be able to learn, to sit at the feet of those who are learned, who also have followed that same process, and to take these things in and to help to build us, to build our character and to build our nature and to allow us to go about and to engage in life. And it all began with the Big Bang. Yet God says that these things serve to prove in regard to the existence of our God. And I've chosen to use this one lastly because in the world of science, they dismiss this above all. But yet at the same time, they do look, so to speak, at the universe. They do consider, if you would, humanity. But whenever it comes to the Bible, they don't want anything to do with the Bible. But at the same time, we have proven on their ends, as well as on a biblical end, how that all of these things align to show that without any question, there is a God in heaven who is responsible for all these things. So therefore, let's go back then to the Bible and to see what we find. The inspired Scripture and its exact accuracies prove beyond any doubt is that there is a God in heaven, and that scientists who hold to evolutionary schools of thought that these individuals are wrong. How so? Friends, I've already identified ways in which the Bible aligns with what we know to be true in the world of science, with the universe and mankind. But the Bible mentions specific individuals by name that from a historical standpoint we know existed. The Bible mentions very specific places that from a geographical standpoint we're able to put it on the map, not only from what we know in our modern age and according to what we have studied and learned, but we're able to put it on a map because God not only tells us a place, but He also shows us from a detailed explanation as to the way in which these places that He identifies were surrounded by water, as we're seeing in our age, or how that these places were surrounded by other places that the Bible very explicitly names as well. Yes, there is a God in heaven. And we believe it not only in faith, because God shows us that we're not to walk by blindness, but rather we walk according to what He reveals, and God gives us evidence upon top of evidence to show that He is real, that He does exist, and that He is responsible for everything. And somebody might say, well, Kevin, what are my options? What are my choices? Where can I be today in regard to my belief? Friends, you can be an atheist if you want. An atheist is one who says adamantly, I don't believe in God. They disbelieve. They believe to disbelieve. That's their belief. That there is a God in heaven. And again, as I've already alluded to in Psalm 14 and verse 1, as well as Psalm 53 and verse 1, says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I find that important to point out is that God says that they are a fool. And oftentimes we find is that in the realm of science, these are some of our brightest, if you would, amongst modern man. These are some of the most educated people that we will find. And for them to be called a fool is an insult to them. And yet God says they are a fool. Why? Because rather than embracing, now listen to me, rather than embracing the facts that God has proven in regard to Himself and the creation that we have looked at in part this morning. I wish we had hours upon top of hours to go over the evidence. That these people who dismiss that evidence and develop theories, and they will admit that they're theories. I read through a bunch of theories last night preparing for the lesson, and time and again these scientists and these evolutionists, they will say, here's our theory, and it's not able to be proven. Friends, the things that God shows us are proven from science. There are no theoretical concepts from a biblical standpoint. They're all facts. And therefore, God says is that if you want to be an atheist, you're a fool. You might align with the skeptics who say that they don't believe that there's enough evidence to prove one way or the other if there is a God. And that's called agnosticism. A Gnostic is one who is to know. Agnostic is one who says, I don't know. They in essence, align themselves with atheism. And as a result of this, it's not that there's insufficient evidence. As we've already pointed out, there's a wealth of evidence. And yet at the same time, I conclude is that these individuals, either they just don't care, there's not enough interest to lead them to look, or they're too lazy to look into the things that God reveals concerning Himself. Maybe they're so caught up in the world. But friends, also, it's interesting, is that there are people who consider themselves to be theistic evolutionists. The word theistic comes from theos, the Greek language, theos, meaning God. And therefore, those who hold to theistic evolution, they're saying, I believe in God, but also I want to believe in evolution. And if you find a theistic evolutionist, what they're going to do is they're going to try and present from Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 3 is that there is a gap between the time in which God created the heavens and the earth and then therefore the time in which God gave formation to the heavens and the earth of which He's created. They contend that is called a gap theory, and that during that gap time is that these billions of years have come into play. And then after the earth became, according to their concepts, became darkness and void, empty, is that then God recreated and then brought forth formation into everything. And friends, That is absurd because there's nowhere in Scripture that would give any indication, any inkling of that concept of there being a gap period. Why? Because we move in a smooth transition from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 2, all the way down through Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where God created from one day after the other in a very systematic manner, with a very design and purpose in mind, as He brought forth the earth for man to inhabit, to live and to dwell upon. I point out theistic evolution and to explain it as I have this morning, because believe it or not, we have some brethren, not here that I'm aware of, but we have brethren not too far from us who want their cake and eat it too, if you would, to be able to believe in the theories of evolution, but then also to believe in God. And friends, they don't mesh, they don't go together. The only stance that we can take and to be right with God, as New Testament Christians, we must hold firm to the truth of theism. And theism says there is but one God and one Creator of all. And that within God there is the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that not only do these three exist eternally without end, but these three will continue to exist without end. And that someday we will be called to stand before God in judgment. And that these three have worked together with the creation of the world, and that these three continue to work together in the sustaining of the universe. And that these three, whenever deity decides to call this world out of existence and to call us into judgment, then that's when things will become as what we read of in the Bible. There is a God in heaven. He is the Creator, the Designer, the Sustainer of all things. It's a basic lesson. But sadly, so many people don't understand it. Friends, today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want you to know how much God loves you. Not only has He created us, but that God loves each and every one of us so much. And we read of that love in part through the Old Testament Scripture as He's working with Israel, the Jews, physical Israel, and He sets them up to bring forth Jesus into the world. And then not only do we find His love there for those people, we find that He loves each and every one of us in the fact that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most quoted verse of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God does not want you to perish. God does not want you to be lost eternally. And therefore today we want you to know is that the only avenue of salvation is in Christ. Because we sin against God. And Christ is that only way that we can be forgiven of our sin. If you're subject to the Lord's call this morning, we invite you with that call.